because of the coronavirus scare, whatever you want to call it. I've talked to so many people about it. Everybody's got their own idea. And a lot of people are just got business to take care of. Relatives in town, those kind of things. Jobs. Well, anyway, welcome again to Grace Believers Bible Study. This morning we're going to have Brother Scott Burns up here. He's our first teacher today. I'll come back at 11 o'clock and we'll continue on with a second separate service. Come on up, Scott.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
And Richard.
And Richard, yes. Thank you. I appreciate that category.
Where's Mary Lou at?
She's at home. She's with home. The family. And we got somebody, Democrat, invaded.
Well, that could be interesting.
Yeah.
It could be for some good conversation.
Almost.
Almost. Happy to have everybody here. Now, last week as we left, I told the Byrons, thinking about teaching on the gap theory. I pretty much had talked myself out of that by the time I got home. And I was like, well, I'm going to continue on with what I did a couple of weeks ago about the liberty and Amendment 1 and how it applies to church. But Thursday night, we had Bible study. Before that, we had watched a video along with that. It really took me back to my salvation testimony. And it really, I said I need to do this again. So, last week I would have told you I wasn't going to be doing that. But for whatever reason, the Holy Spirit works that way. Kind of guides us into things. And eventually, now hopefully what it'll do is it'll reach somebody. Or reach a lot of people. Or either for salvation's sake or for edification. So, well, that's the direction we're going to go. Everybody here all right? Everything good? Hi, Candy. How's it going? You can tell me. Does it taste all right?
I'll
take a bite. Let me know. It smelled good. I didn't have any yet. So I'm going to take a trip back. I'm going to call it a trip back through my salvation testimony. And I don't... What's that? Yeah, I'm going to get there in just a second. I've got to kind of announce this.
Okay.
It's good to have a wife, though, and she keeps me alive most of the time.
Most of the time.
Sometimes she lets me... Sometimes she lets me fall in the pit, and she just leaves me down there for a while before she sends a letter.
You let me sleep.
Oh, boy, I hear that one. Yeah. So I don't... You know, a lot of people have an exact date, an exact time. Mine was more of a time frame, but I do remember the moment when it happened because there was a lot of lead up that had gotten to that. We were in the assemblies. We started late 05, 06 ish, and we were there for 9 years. So we did about 9 years in the assemblies. We loved it, it was like a family. I'll tell you, one thing you go, that was a family. Everybody was family, family, family. But as times went on, we started to figure out that some of the things that were being taught weren't exactly right. You know, a lot of the law was being taught down there and whatnot. But what happened is we bumped into this fellow and his wife, Jack and Lilia Smedley, down there. And as I've said here before, he wasn't, a particularly attractive person. He wasn't somebody you'd go, boy, I want to know more about that guy. But when he walked by, he just had something about him. He just had a glow, or, he's happy, he was smiling, a sparkle in his eye, whatever you want. He had something that I wanted. And I couldn't quite explain at that time what it was. And I will tell you, at that point, I thought I was saved. I mean, I knew there was a God, I knew there was a Jesus, I knew there was a cross in there, I knew there was a resurrection. I mean, I really thought I was good to go. I'd been good to go for 20, 30 years. That's pretty much what I had believed along the way. She knows. She was there with me. She probably was shaking her head. Well, not in the early days, because she believed some stuff, too. But anyways, we got into this Bible study with Jack, and he was real good. He pretty much had taught himself. After he got divorced, all he did was read his Bible for years and years after, and I guess he had a photographic memory. That was before he had his heart surgery was done, but boy, he sure knew the scriptures. They used to call him Jack Van Impe. What? I don't really particularly like Jack Van Impe's personality, but I did like Jack's personality. So we were in there, and he's teaching on grace, and you know we're lapping it up because we did believe that we were saved by grace at the time. I just had a lot of strange ideas and extra things I thought was necessary. And he would get to this verse, it seemed, or verses, maybe once every Bible study seemed to be quoted, and it was Ephesians 2:8-9. Ephesians 2:8-9, and it goes, "By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And everybody was lip syncing and saying at the same time. Now, not me. I had a New Living translation, and mine didn't seem to match what was being said at the time. I really liked it. I got to the second or third time this had happened, and I started to have some problems with this because it said that we're saved not of ourselves or yourselves and not of works. That became a problem for me because there were some things that I believed that I had to do. So he'll tell you greatly. I'm going to go over five of the big ones. There was at least a dozen items, maybe more, but I'm going to go over five. I'm going to do them in reverse order. But what I'm going to try and do is put the verses I thought I had to believe in and the ones that actually corrected that situation. So that said, just a quick prayer. God, we love you. We love you, Abba Father. We love you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Holy Spirit. We just want to thank you for all that you do. We thank you for the opportunity to get together and teach and learn on a rightly divided as the Apostle Paul had put out there under your direction. We thank you most so for your precious grace that you've shared abundantly with the whole world, and that your Son Jesus Christ came and performed fully satisfactory death on that cross for our sins. He was buried and resurrected on the third day, and once we believe and trusted that resurrection justified us just as if we've never sinned before and made us just as righteous as Jesus Christ. And we know, God, when you look down and you see us who are saved, all you see is your Son, and you do not see our sin. We thank you for that. It's in the blessed name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
So, reverse order, some of the things I believed that I thought I had to do. Faith was not enough to be saved and to go to heaven. I had to, or I must, have good works. I don't know if any of you were in that position before. Speaking in tongues, ironically, we were talking about this morning, was a sign that one has been saved. I had tried to learn how to do it. I never got there, but I really liked it when I heard it happening and it get translated, didn't I? First time I was freaked out, second time I was like, oh, this is great. Third time I was like, oh, I hope this happens all the time. Baptism by water was required to receive the Holy Ghost, and the biggest discussions would be about sprinkling, dipping, or full immersion. Anybody relate to that one?
Oh, yeah.
And yes, we did take a dip in there and we got a free washing. Mm-hmm. At the time I thought it was necessary.
Warm water.
Number two, I work at five, this would be two. Tithe or be cursed. Malachi 3:8-10. And boy, it was me that actually said, we need to do better on this. And do better. In fact, it got to the point where we'd look around and the pastor would come out and say, the tithe is 10%. And we'd look around and go, hey, we didn't give 10%. There's 80% out here that are not giving. I'm like, anyway. I'm going to discuss these further as we go along here. These were things I used to believe. And my big one, the one that took the longest for me to shake, and it's actually in about four parts. Forgive everyone that's done me wrong. Being forgiven by those that I've done wrong. Asking over and over for additional forgiveness for the really bad things I've done. And forgiveness for the bad things done since I last asked for forgiveness. Or you could call it future sins. But I lumped that all in. That was the one that took me quite a while to shake. Now, a couple of the important verses in the Rightly Divided. This may be helpful maybe to Angelo. There's some verses here that we go over in Romans 11 and 13. And it concerns our apostle. You know, there were the 12, and then there was Paul, and they had the distinct ministries. And as things wound down for the 12 in Acts 7 and then further, the Lord Jesus Christ calls up this man Saul, who we now know as Paul. And Romans 11:13, it spells it out. It says, "For I," that's Paul, "speak to you Gentiles, in as much as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office." You know, there's no other place in the Bible where it says there's an apostle to the Gentiles. I dare you to find it. It's not there. I've looked. I've tried. I tried to make a correlation with something, you know, to go out to all creatures. But there's never another verse that talks about anybody else that was the apostle to the Gentiles. Romans 16 and 25. Look to your right. And here we do this. It says, "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to mine," this would be Paul's gospel, "and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began." We're currently not in the Old Testament. We're not currently in the New Testament. Yes, I know if you look at your Bible, it'll say the New Testament on that page, but we're currently in what's called the revelation of the mystery. Things wound down for those folks, the 12. It's not that God did away with it. He put a pause on what they were doing and opened up this brand new period called the dispensation of grace of God, which we've been in this, surprisingly, for 2,000 years. There's other verses that cover this, Colossians 1, 25 through 27, and there's also Ephesians 3, if you're interested. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians 11 and 1. 1 Corinthians 11 and 1. These are very familiar to most of us that have been here. It says, "Be ye." Now, the neat thing about King James is when you see "ye" first, I didn't like it. That's why I went with the New King James. I didn't like the "there, thee, thou, ye," and all this other. But you know when you see "ye" in King James, that means plural. It doesn't mean one, it means plural. So, "Be ye," and this is another neat thing, that Paul, when he writes in his epistles from Romans out to Philemon, he always writes to believers. They got to understand that perspective. He's talking to believers about other believers, believers about other unbelievers, or things that he wants them to grow in. But he's always speaking to believers. So he says, "Be ye followers of me," that would be Paul, "even as I also am of Christ." Now, he's not saying that we worship Paul. He's saying, hey, look, follow after me as I follow after Christ. I wrote these things to you, so follow after these things during this dispensation of the grace of God, and you'll be all right. Philippians 3 and 17, kind of along the same vein. Philippians 3 and 17. "Brethren," again, he always speaks to believers, "be followers together of me," that's Paul, "and mark them which walk so as ye have us as an example." Now, this was a hard nut for me to swallow. These are pretty important. That you need to know that Paul is the spokesman for the dispensation of grace of God. Peter and the gang were under the kingdom program. And it's a valid program. It's paused right now. And it will start up again when we get into the tribulation. But these things you need to know, that Paul is our apostle today. We're in a mystery that wasn't described in prophecy. And the only way that we get saved is by what Paul has wrote down in his pages that was directed by Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. So with that being said, I'm going to go back over those items that I had a belief in. Now I'm going to go from 5 down to 1 and try and describe what I thought was why I was doing it, and what the reasoning is why I don't do it now, or I don't believe it now. Again, this is a faith was not enough to be saved to go to heaven. I had, or I must have, good works. There's a couple places in James and in Matthew. Let's hit James 2. Let's do verses 20 through 24. James 2, 20 through 24. This book of James was wrote by the half-brother, as far as we know, of Jesus Christ. It's probably one of the first of the general epistles that got out there in the streets. Everybody good? See Jim rattling through his book. James 2, 20 through 24. But wilt thou know, O vain man, what faith without works is dead? Now he's going to relate this to Abraham. And when I get to the other one, I'm going to also relate it to Abraham. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. And 24, here it is. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Well, I lived by that one for a long time. Now, when you find out that our doctrine emanates from what Paul wrote and not from what was wrote by the other folks, and I was going to put the one about Matthew 25. This used to get taught all the time. This is about the sheep and the goat separation, but explains those that didn't take care of others basically got into the goat line and ended up going down to hell. But I'm going to skip that one for the sake of time because that takes a little bit. Romans 4. 1 through 5. I bet Jim was there already. Romans 5, 1 through 5. Now, ironically, Paul is going to be talking about the same exact situation with Abraham. He said, what shall we say then that Abraham our father, and Abraham was the father of Paul because Paul was Jewish and Paul was also Roman. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now wait a second. These are conflicting. Aren't they? How do you put those two together if you're not rightly divided? Well, this did apply to those that were under the law. Now, yes, it was by faith in God plus the works of the law. For us today, it's by the dispensation of the grace of God. It's by faith in his faith and what he did on the cross when he died for our sins. I'm going to do what Dave does. This is the clean board. Now, he died on the cross for our sins. He was buried and he was resurrected on the third day, justifying us. And when we trust that, guess what? We're in there. We don't have to do anything else. But I had to work through all this stuff. So you get to 4 and 5. It says, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. And here's what applies to us today. But to him that worketh not, no works, but believeth on him, that would be Jesus Christ and what he did already, that justifieth the ungodly. His faith is counted for righteousness. Okay, so number 5 is off the board. I can wipe that one off. Okay. I would come back to the next Bible study, the one after that, and go, okay, I got that one, Jack, but there's 4 other things here. I have to do it. I'm seeing all these people on the TV, these pastors, these things are being taught in church. I have to do these things. I mean, how can so many people be wrong and only you be right? And that's how I put it. Now, he explained it the first time, but the next time he just went, Scott went out under the law. And he went at it anymore. I'd have to go back and I'd attack that book again. I get to the next one. Speaking in tongues was a sign that one has been saved. We move over to Mark 16:16-17. These are familiar verses. We've hit these before. Man, time flies when you're up here, doesn't it? Mark 16:16-17. This is Jesus talking to the 11. Judas had taken his trip on himself, and the 12th wasn't on board yet. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name, shall they cast out devils, shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues. I'll tell you, I did try. You know, I was telling Angela, I was floating. And they kind of dissected us, and this portion of the church fell under this person and this person. And the very first question that we were asked is, well, have you spoken tongues yet? I'm trying. It was kind of her way of going, well, you keep on trying, but you're not saved until you do that. They weren't mean about it. It was like a family. You know, it was just something, you know, you're a bad kid, go to your room, do a little time out, I still love you. But eventually you won't have to do any time out once you do this. I just made that up on the fly, by the way. Now, here's what Paul says about that in a few verses. We're going to string a few things together because in the beginning, in the Acts period, some of these things were in action. And Paul did speak in tongues. And there were things that he did. In fact, when you read the information in Mark 16, you'll find out that Paul was the only one who really had done all those things, with the exception of drinking poison. So 1 Corinthians 1, 22 and 23. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. You see, the Jews, Israel was promised signs in the Old Testament. And in prophecy, they are promised signs. So when things get back to it, signs will be back in play. Absolutely. Romans 11 and 5. This is one that we hit quite often in here. Romans 11 and 5. It says, even so then at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Now the Lord Jesus Christ had Paul go out to these various places and give this message to them about this mystery, trying to pick up, first and foremost, the Israel, the Jews, and then there were also some proselytes, and as we read in there, there's also some Greeks that bless the seed of Abraham. You know, it says in Genesis 12 and 3, you know, I will bless them that bless you, and I will curse them that curse you. But the Lord had him go to them first. And it was only after that time frame, after that final, we'll find out here in the last verse we're going to look at, that they finally had rejected the offer, and then it moved to the Gentiles. 1 Corinthians 13:8, the great love chapter. Or the charity chapter, if you're reading King James, right? Mm-hmm. Charity never faileth, for whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be ding-dongs, they will stop. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. So for a time, these things were in motion. They were part and parcel. And as I said, Paul was using some of these, and this was in action until you get to the end of Acts 28. And that's where we're going to go, Acts 28, 27 through 28. We were just talking about that. Acts 28, verses 27 and 28. All right, Paul's up in Rome. He's made his final ascent he's there and he's actually talking to the Israel and the proselytes and the Greeks who believed in blessing the seed of Abraham. So for the heart of this people, the Jews or Israel, is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you, this is the Israel, the Jews, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. At that point, all the signs stopped. They all ceased. Because the signs were for Israel. They weren't for the Gentiles. They were for Israel. So, scratch off number four, the thing I had believed. And that was a tough one, because when you're reading some of the earlier epistles of Paul and you're reading Acts, you're seeing some of these signs and wonders being performed. You go, well, how can you tell me that? It says he's speaking in tongues. But you can understand that ended. It ended at the end of the Acts period, after the remnant had been picked up. Then once the remnant was picked up, then it opened up for the entire world after that. And we know that one pretty well when we hit Ephesians 2. All right, the third item that I had issues with was baptism by water is required to receive the Holy Ghost. Sprinkling, dipping, full immersion. We're going to move over to Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. And we already covered Mark 16:16, so we'll do Matthew 28:19-20. Again, these are familiar verses. Byron likes to teach these. I think he secretly followed these things in his early life. Did you? It says, go ye therefore, ye's plural, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, as I was walking and thinking I was saved, I would start a Genesis, and I read Exodus, and well, those were exciting. I get to Leviticus and go, are you kidding me? And then I would move on to Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, and then I read it again. And it was always, I was kind of, oh, I'm good this day. Oh, I am not doing that. I'm good this day. I'm not. It's, that's pretty much how it would work. And then I jump back to Genesis, Exodus. If I get a fast start, I can make it through Leviticus. No, I didn't make it through Leviticus. I try to spot check a few of the other ones in the Old Testament. We should try Revelation. Oh boy, that's really what you need to know when you're hit when you don't know what's going on in the Bible to start with. I thought I did. I really did. But you know what? Everything for a reason. Every single step that I took, misstep, got me to where I'm at right now. And when you can look at that and reflect, you can go, I get it. I really did. Okay. Let's go to Acts 2, 37, 38. This is a little bit more about the baptism. This is what Peter was teaching to Israel. And if you read it very careful, you'll see about four references in Acts 2 before you get there. It says he's specifically talking to Israel or to Judah, which ironically, I never saw that when I first read it. Everything I read in the Bible, I thought every bit of this applies to me. Well, every bit in here is for me, but there's stuff in here is definitely directly to me, doctrinally. And it's in Romans through Philemon. It took a while to get that understanding. All right, Acts 2, 37 to 38. And when they heard this is the Jews, Israel, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, that's in water, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, it doesn't say you're saved, it doesn't say your sins are gone, but it does say if you've done that, you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I believe that. But then when you get over to Paul, let's go to 1 Corinthians 1 and 17.
You must not have repented.
Oh boy, I repented. I was a repenter. And I told you a story, Angela, you haven't heard it, maybe Tina, you haven't heard it, but I would continue to pray, and I'm going to get to this in a moment, I would continue to pray for some of that dark stuff that I've done. There's no way God could have gotten it on the first try, and I do it, and I do it. And she one day said, how dare you not forgive yourself for the things that Jesus Christ has already forgiven you?
Oh, I
said, she was right. But I didn't want to let her know that. How dare she be right now?
That's right.
But she was.
She didn't have to let her know.
Well, you got to give him something once in a while. You can't keep that all into the vest.
She already knew.
Well, she did.
Remember, I know where you sleep.
Ouch. 1 Corinthians 1 and 17. This is Paul talking. He said, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Now we know earlier, when Paul was Saul, and then maybe even a little bit when he's Paul, there were a few baptisms. But then it was revealed to him he wasn't supposed to baptize. He was supposed to teach the gospel, or preach the gospel. 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, a very familiar one. A few pages to the right. And we're going to prove that there's only one baptism for us in the Bible. There's not two. It's one baptism. 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. There's not a drop of water in there. That's the Holy Spirit, after you believe, baptizing you into the body of Christ. The great thing about the body of Christ is only talked about in Paul's epistles. You don't find the body of Christ anywhere else. This is a special thing during the mystery period that we're in right now. Ephesians 4:4 through 7. I should ask Byron. He knew exactly where I was going. Ephesians 4:4 through verse 7. He's going to go over the seven things that he's talking about. Everybody there? There's one body, one Spirit, that's capital S, Holy Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. There's one in each of those. There's only one God the Father. There's only one Holy Spirit. There's only one Jesus Christ. There's only one baptism, and that's the one we just read about, where the Holy Spirit baptizes us into the body of Christ, of which Jesus Christ is the head. There's not two. There's not three. Hey, go ahead.
Ephesians 1:13
identifies separate. And we're going to hit that later, but let's do it.
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah,
okay. It's in there. I just hope I can get through all of it. So, let's take that item off the list now. I'm working my way down. Here's two. Tithe or be cursed. Boy, how many times did we hear this? Malachi 3, 8 through 10. Will a man, you don't need to turn here, I'll read it for you. It's probably better to rip that page out of your Bible anyways. But it does say how God worked in those days and will be working again. He just doesn't work that way right now because we're in the mystery period. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Oh, he says nation. He didn't say nations. He didn't say the Gentiles. He said nation. He's referring to Israel right here. I didn't see it before. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Well, that last part's pretty good. High five.
High five.
Just tell me 10 minutes. Well, the last part of that's pretty good. What is not applicable to us today, the doctrine that we take and move forward with, is in Romans through Philemon. And these have to be some very good verses that I rely on heavily. 2 Corinthians 9:6-8. 2 Corinthians 9:6-8. This is how we give today. Whether it be time, talent, treasure, money, whatever. And what you're going to find here is it doesn't say you have to give. But the suggestion is, I'll get ready to read it when you guys are there. Right there. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So those of us that are doing good works are going to reap bountifully. Don't have to do them, but you should. But here we go. Here's the specific when you're getting ready to break into your wallet or your checkbook or whatever you might do. Every man, according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. We gave tens of thousands of dollars. I know that's nothing. You know how much that counted for God? For me? Zero. Why? Because I was strong-armed. I wouldn't even save time. I was trying to do it to be saved. What he's saying here is, whatever you purpose in your heart, so let him give. So you got to purpose it here, and you got to do it with a grateful heart. God loves a cheerful giver. And he goes on to say, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Tithing is no longer my vocabulary. It was never for me to start with. I was mimicking something that was for Israel. I was taught that, and I kept reading on it, and I thought it was for me. So we can scratch out the second one. Now, this all happened back in about 2006. I'm just trying to explain how I got to where I got. The big one. This was the big one for me, about forgiving everyone that's done me wrong, being forgiven by those that I've done wrong, asking over and over for additional forgiveness of things that were dark that I had done, and forgiveness for the bad things done since I last asked for forgiveness. And that's, of course, that's covered in what's known as the Lord's Prayer. Of course, it never says the Lord's Prayer, but it's been subtitled the Lord's Prayer. It's more, should be called the Disciples' Prayer, because that's who he was teaching how to pray, and that's how they're going to be praying when they get into tribulation. Not the disciples, but those that are walking towards being saved towards the end of the tribulation. And in that part, it's going to be Matthew 6 for those who don't know where it's at. We're going to hit verse 12, 14, and 15. And it says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And 14 says, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Let's move over to 2 Timothy 2:15. It's a very familiar verse here. If you come again, you get to hear this at least once or twice. Oh, I see you and I'm thinking about pizza. Is that bad?
I used to have a pizza.
I like it. It probably was delicious.
It was.
When we were in Italy, we lived right next to a pizzeria. And 3 to 4 times a week, we'd go over there. I'd take Corey and we'd balance an egg there and make pizzas over there, bring it back. And it'd be 3 of the kind of the thin ones that are done in the I'll call it the stone chimney. High five. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study Now, King James is the only one that's going to tell you to study. All the rest of them come up with something else. It says study. You know what study is? It's not going, there's that verse. I don't have to do that. Or, skim it up. Study means study the book. Yeah, maybe you read through the chapter, and then maybe you hit it a little later. But study means study, and he goes on to show thyself approved unto God. Now, if you can be approved unto God, guess what you could be? Disapproved of God. Then it goes on to say, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. Well, if I could be not being ashamed, I could be ashamed. And this goes for believers as well. When we get stuff in there. And that I was in this area. I was all over the place, all these extra things that were added in there. So it says, study, show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. Here we come, Jim. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. And that exact word grouping of the word of truth is sitting in Ephesians 1 and 13. In whom, and this is the order how we get saved, by the way. First you hear it from somebody that says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Well, where's that said? Well, that's over in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, which hopefully we'll get a moment to get there. I'll speed up here a little bit. In whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise.
After you were baptized and repented.
Yeah. And I go on 14. I like 14 because it's a little extra guarantee. If you didn't get enough in 13, you go to 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of His glory. We keep that seal of the Holy Spirit until we get pulled up there in the rapture of calling. And then there's no need for blood because we're going to be flesh and bone, and our spirit is going to replace the blood. Isn't that something? And that's coming pretty soon. I don't know. Keep an eye on the news. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. This is the clearest example of the gospel today. It's got multiple names. It's the gospel of Christ. Today we refer to it as the gospel of the grace of God. It's still the most clear thing that Paul taught, referenced the gospel. Again, he's speaking to believers here. He says, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Moreover, brother, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, wherein ye stand. Well, that's pretty firm if you're standing in it. By which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how Christ died for our sins according to Scripture. And that he was buried, and that he was rose again the third day, according to Scripture. He died on the cross for our sins. He was buried. He was resurrected on the third day. And as we move over to what verse?
Romans 4:25.
Romans 4:25. Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. So the moment that we believed and trusted, that resurrection counted as justification. And justification is a complete elimination of all sin, past, present, future. It's as if you have never, ever, ever sinned. Is that possible? That's how God set it up. I just believe. I believed a lot of stuff, but now I believe what saves today, and I can prove it via Scripture. Colossians 2, 13 and 14. And maybe I'll go to 10 if Jim sits over there and gives me the... Colossians 2, 13 and
14.
I'm almost done, Trish. Don't give me the last finger. She gave me 5 of them earlier. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he, that being God, quickened or made alive together with him, that being Jesus Christ, have forgiven you all trespasses. All? Past, present, future? All. 14 says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. The law, the ordinances, every bit of it's gone. It does not apply. Well, so there's some things in there morally. We shouldn't go out killing people or adultery or stealing your neighbor's rake or something like that. Those are things you shouldn't do. But it doesn't apply to our salvation today. Romans 5:11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Israel never received the atonement. They're gonna at the end of the tribulation or the beginning of the kingdom. They will. It's going to open up and they will finally get all their sins removed and they will finally get their atonement. But that's going to happen in the kingdom. That's future tense. That's prophecy, and we're not in prophecy. Now back to Ephesians 2:8-9. So we wind this thing down. Romans 2:8-9. So for by grace. Grace, we always talk about it, unmerited favor. But it's more than that. It's that the Son already paid the full price for everything. And it's sitting out there, and it's available, and it's free. And all you have to do is go, no, I believe and trust that. I trust that to take me to heaven. All that's buttoned up in grace. Are ye saved through faith? Our faith in His faith, that He willingly went to the cross and died for us, and He was buried, and He was resurrected on the third day. And that not of yourselves. We can't do anything. You can't work for this thing. Our works are like filthy rags, like it says in Isaiah. Filthy rags. We can't do anything. See, He understands that we were born in sin. We don't have a choice. Adam, when he took of the fruit, took of that and partook when Eve gave it to him, sin entered the stream. We have no choice. We were born in sin. All of sin and fall short of glory. We had no choice. He had to come up with something. And this was what was planned before the foundation of the world. It is a gift of God. Now, you ever sit around the tree at Christmas time, somebody gives you a gift? Maybe they like what your gift is and they take it back from you. It doesn't work like that. If God has given you this gift because you trusted what His Son did, that's your gift. God doesn't want it back. A gift is a gift is a gift. Not a works. You can't work for this thing. You cannot add to this thing. You cannot take away from this thing. You're only saved by your trust in the gospel. Lest any man should boast. Not going to be a single person in heaven walking around going, you know what? I did this and I did that. And that's why I'm here and they're not here. Not going to be a single person boasting. They're all going to be, I am so thankful that I believe this and that Jesus Christ took care of everything for me. That's all I have. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, Scott. Let's take a break.